Welcome to Christian Worship at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. We gather together for our fourth Lenten midweek service. We'll follow the order of worship contained in your service folder. I invite you to stand. Now is the time of God's favor.
Now is the day of salvation.
Turn us again, O God of our salvation. May your justice shine like the sun.
And may the poor be lifted up.
We remain standing as we sing hymn 433, Glory Be to Jesus. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. For you are merciful and you love your whole creation, and we, your creatures, glorify you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. Why do the nations rage? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. Let us burst their bonds apart. He who sits in the heavens laughs.
The Lord holds them in derision.
Then he will speak to them in his wrath.
And terrify them in his spirit, saying,
as for me, I have set my king
on Zion, my holy hill.
I will tell of the decree the Lord said to me.
You are my son. Today I have begotten you.
Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage. You shall break them with a rod of iron. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Serve the Lord with fear. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled.
Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We hear the word of our Lord from the letter of Paul to Titus in the New Testament, the second chapter. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. You may be seated. We sing as our theme hymn, hymn 528, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing," hymn 528. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our suffering, dying, and rising Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon meditation, and printed for you in your worship folder, is recorded in Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 29. Again, a revelation of our Lord Jesus, risen and ascended, to his disciple John. Jesus said, "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of their works. And I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Jesus's longest letter of these seven letters to the churches is to the smallest of these cities, Thyatira. It was a place you go through, not a place you go to. Thyatira was known for its trade guilds. We would say its unions. They were lodges of skilled laborers, garment workers, carpenters, stone cutters, potters. They all had their own union, and each union had its own god. You had to be a union member if you wanted to get a job in Thyatira. And the members had to take part in the union's activities in order to advance. So the union men met at the end of the day of work. For what? To eat. And the food had been offered to the union's idol or false god. To drink. Probably too much, and to be with ladies who were not their wives. Worship, wine, and women. That work of the union halls was blatantly contrary to God's will for his people. What was a Christian to do in such a case? Not to be a union member would mean losing one's job and facing poverty. Being a union member without joining in the union's activities meant certain ridicule. This dilemma that the Christians of Thyatira faced then is similar to the pain of persecution that we Christians endure today. But there is a promise to our passage. Jesus will give authority over the nations to us who overcome these temptations. Temptations to compromise with the sinful world around us. In this passage, we see that a female member of the church in Thyatira has a solution to this dilemma. Go ahead, join with the unbelievers in order to better reach out to them. Well, Jesus calls her Jezebel, after that Old Testament queen who led King Ahab and the Israelites into the worship of the false god Baal. Even today, A woman who is deceitful, nasty, and mean is sometimes proverbially called a Jezebel. Well, what this Jezebel advised was to take part in Satan's stuff in order to better know what the devil is all about. Cooperate and compromise in order to avoid persecution. We face the very same struggle today as God's people who are in the world but who are not of the world. What are we to do and what are we not to do? How can we walk among the self-proclaimed elites of our society and the enlightened people without sharing in their spiritual darkness? For we cannot separate or insulate ourselves so much from the world that we are naive and out of touch with reality. This was the error of the monasteries and convents at the time of the Reformation. We simply cannot deny the fact that we are humans. But neither can we join in the ungodly behavior of this sinful world to the point that we cross over from belief to unbelief. We dare not deny the faith that the Holy Spirit has instilled within us. Yet so easily do we rationalize our actions and those of our friends and family, just like the Jezebel of Thyatira did. We shrug at sexual intercourse outside of marriage, at abortions, at stealing, at gossip, at hatred, at violence, at unscriptural divorce, etc. We soothe ourselves by saying, well, it could be worse, or times have changed, or we can't do anything about it, or the best one of all, everybody does it. We fall into a spiritual trap that our sinful nature has sprung upon us since the time that Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden. I can do whatever I want to do with my body, and it won't affect my spirit. But there is no such dualism to us. Body and spirit cannot be separated. What my body does affects and reflects what my spirit believes. And what my spirit believes is shown by what my body does. Thus, what Jesus, the one who searches hearts and minds, sees in us is that we do not want to face persecution and opposition. We go along with the ways of this world so that we do not stick out as religious freaks and fanatics, as weird and weak, or as those who are holier than thou. Well, this Jezebel's delusion may have tricked many of the Christians in Thyatira in the first century, but she does not deceive Jesus. John describes Jesus in the passage as the Son of God. Interesting that this is the only time in the book of Revelation he is so described, but it emphasizes his position of power. John also says that Jesus has eyes like blazing fire, which means he can see all things. And he has feet like burnished bronze. Jesus has the ability to pursue those who oppose him, and he can trample them under his feet. Jesus congratulates their deeds of love and service of others and their works of faith, which endure opposition from unbelievers. They have progressed in living the Christian life. They are even doing more good works now than when they first believed. So now Jesus says that they are to hold on tight and not allow themselves to fall for the sinful rationalization of this Jezebel. Now they are to keep away from Satan's so-called deep secrets, which are really none other than the selfish desires of our sinful natures. Jesus does give a promise to those who stick with him, and that promise is for them to have authority over the nations. But we do not see that authority now. For now, we are oppressed by the world more than we are in control of it. But we do have authority in this life. This authority is God's forgiveness of sins for those who are repentant and the withholding of forgiveness from the unrepentant. This authority is in God's powerful word of the Holy Bible that we proclaim and in the faith-giving sacraments that we share. These means of God's grace are the authority that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, received from his heavenly Father. This is the authority that our risen and ascended Lord Jesus now gives to us, his church on earth. We now exercise that authority by preaching the gospel and by administering the sacraments, using the office of the keys to close heaven to those who are secure in their sins, and to open heaven for those who are sorry for their sins. But the time is coming when this authority that we now see by faith will be revealed in the sight of all people. Jesus will come again, returning at the end of time to bring this world as we know it to its end. And then he will separate believers from unbelievers. His judgment upon unbelief is spoken of in strong terms in Psalm 2 that we spoke earlier. He will break them with a rod of iron. He will dash them in pieces. Then we will share in Jesus' judgment of the unbelieving nations of the world. Jesus will give us the bright morning star. This was the name for the planet Venus in the ancient world. It was thought then that Venus ruled the sky. Well, at the end of the book of Revelation, Jesus claims, "I am the bright morning star." So for us to be given the morning star is none other than to be in the presence of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ himself. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in our Lord and in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our worship by singing our hymn verse of response. It is printed for us in our worship folder. We will sing through it twice. From the Passion History of our Lord Jesus Christ is drawn from the four Gospels, this evening part 4, before Pontius Pilate. When they had bound Jesus, they led him from Caiaphas to the Hall of Judgment and gave him over to Pontius Pilate, the governor. It was early. They themselves did not go into the judgment hall so that they might not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Then Pilate said to them, "Take him then and judge him according to your law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." So the word of Jesus was fulfilled, signifying by what death he should die. The charges they brought against him were, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding us to pay taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Do you say this for yourself, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Do you take me for a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have given you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would have fought that I should not be given over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not of this world." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. I was born and I came into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in this man." The chief priests kept laying one charge after another against him, but he answered not a word. Pilate questioned him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many charges they lay against you." Jesus answered him not a word. Pilate was utterly amazed. He said to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no case against this man." They pressed their charges more vehemently. "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. When he learned that he belonged in Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him on to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem for those days. When Herod saw Jesus, he was delighted, for he had long wished to see him because of what he had heard of him, and he hoped to see him do a miracle. He questioned Jesus repeatedly, but he gave him no answer. The chief priests and scribes stood there and vehemently accused him. Herod and his soldiers mocked him. They put a splendid robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that same day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You have brought this man before me as one subverting the people. See now, I have examined him before you, and have found nothing in this man guilty of any of your charges against him. And neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Mark this, he has done nothing worthy of death. I will have him punished and release him." Now at the feast, it was the governor's custom to release to the crowd any one prisoner whom they asked for. They had then a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. He was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection in the city. Pilate knew that it was out of malice that the chief priests handed Jesus over. Therefore he said to them, "Do you want me to release for you Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to destroy Jesus. Pilate asked them again, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they cried out all together, saying, "Away with this man, and release for us Barabbas." Again, Pilate addressed them, for he wished to release Jesus. He said to them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? What shall I do with him, whom you call the King of the Jews?" They all cried out, "Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no guilt worthy of death in him. I will therefore punish him and let him go." They cried out all the louder, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers of the governor led him away into the praetorium. They gathered the whole band of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a purple robe on him. When they had woven a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. They knelt down and did him homage. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I bring him out to you that you may know I find him not guilty." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I do not find him guilty." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was more afraid and went again into the judgment hall and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" And Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and to have power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You would not have any power at all over me unless it had been given to you from above. For that reason, he who handed me over to you has the greater sin." This prompted Pilate to go on trying to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself a king sets himself against Caesar." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but rather a riot was underway, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this man. See to it yourselves." Then all the people responded, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, gave sentence that it should be as they demanded. He released to them Barabbas, for whom they asked, the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder. He had Jesus flogged and then gave him over to their will to be crucified. The soldiers mocked him, stripped him of the purple robe, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. This ends this portion of the Passion history of our Lord Jesus Christ. We continue with the prayer litany as printed in your service folder. We stand. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. For our pastors and teachers in Christ, for all servants of the church, and for all the people, let us pray to the Lord. For our public servants, for the government and those who protect us, that they may be upheld and strengthened in every good deed, let us pray to the Lord. For those who work to bring peace, justice, health, and protection in this and every place, let us pray to the Lord. For those who bring offerings, those who do good works in this congregation, those who toil, those who sing, and all the people here present who await from the Lord great and abundant mercy, let us pray to the Lord. For favorable weather, for an abundance of the fruits of the earth, and for peaceful times, let us pray to the Lord. For our deliverance from all affliction, wrath, danger, and need, let us pray to the Lord. For the faithful who have gone before us, and are with Christ. Let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our Lord.
To you, Lord.
O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.
You may be seated. We sing as our closing hymn, hymn 887, Now the Light Has Gone Away, hymn 887.